our thoughts and lead our thoughts for communion today. So I'd like to introduce you to Joel and Melissa Taylor. I've known them for many, many years. Melissa longer than Joel. Interesting story. Melissa was actually the first person that ever reached out to Natasha. They went to high school together. She was a part of the teen ministry in the church many, many years ago. Melissa and I, Natasha and I were all in the campus ministry together. Many, many great memories, many great years of just having fun together, being college disciples together, you know. And she went up to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and there was a guy up there. And when she walked in and joined the church, he said, "Hey, there's a new girl here." And so, they fell in love, got married. They have two beautiful children, Alex, who's 3 years old, and Autumn, who's one. And they're just really great people. So welcome them, please, as they come and share our thoughts for the Lord's Supper. Come on up, Joel and Melissa.
Good morning, Cornerstone. Thank you for that introduction, Fenton. It's been an honor for Melissa and myself and our two children to get to be here this past weekend. We've had a wonderful time. Everyone's been very friendly. There's been lots and lots of laughter and lots of tape put on faces. If you don't know what that is, ask the teens. They'll fill you in. But it truly is wonderful to see your smiling faces this morning. It's been an interesting and faith-building summer for our family. I'm reminded of the phrase, "You don't know what you've got till it's gone." At the end of May, the retina in my right eye started to detach. That's terrifying. We had been up in Illinois at a wedding of one of our former youth group members, and when the symptoms began, and I kept seeing a dark spot out of the side of my vision. And I went to work after the weekend was over. I went to work that day like normal, but the spot had gotten bigger. And I couldn't see out of the right side of my eye at all. And my vision started to fog up. So I called Melissa, and I'm kind of freaking out. And I'm kind of, telling her what's going on, and she's going, "All right. We're going to go to the ER. My parents, they come, take the kids. And I remember thinking to myself, is this the last time I'm actually going to see my children's faces? Am I actually going to go blind? So I'm sorry, getting a little... So I'm looking at my children's faces. Oh, excuse me. Trying to memorize them. Now, thankfully, this didn't happen. I can see all of you. But it took having not just one eye surgery, two eye surgeries to fix the problem. Now, to do this, and I'll give you the Cliff Notes version for those of you that are squeamish about eyes. I know there's some people that are squeamish. How they do this? First off, they don't knock you out. You're awake for the entire procedure. And they laser the damage in the eye, and then they put this gas bubble of some sort of gas, I don't know what kind. They put it in your eye, and it pushes against the retina to help the retina heal while it reattaches to the rest of the eye. Now, after this is done, you can't see. you can see, but all you see are blobs and blobs of color, and that's about it. I mean, you can't focus on anything. I mean, Melissa could walk right up to here at me, and I couldn't see her. I wouldn't be able to see her. I wouldn't be able to tell. I wouldn't be able to make any detail out on her face. I could just see peachness. Okay. as the bubble goes down over time, as it heals, well, it gets even more frustrating because that bubble floats around like a fishing bob on a line, and it magnifies everything when you look through it. And so actually for a while there, I actually wore an eye patch because it was so difficult to focus on things. I got some very strange looks from children, even my own. I got asked if I was a pirate several times. To that I replied, "Arr, yes." But as I've gone through this ordeal, as difficult as it's been, I've come to realize there were some profound spiritual lessons taught to me. A lot of times, we have this worldly bubble that gets in our vision, and it can distort what we see. And it can take our focus off of Christ. That bubble can take on many different forms in our lives: unresolved conflict, discouragement, money, our schedules, our routines, our jobs, media, sin. I could go on. And sometimes these things, whether they're good or bad, can cause us to become so hyper-focused on the situation that we lose sight of Christ. We can't see the forest for the trees. So turn over. If you've got your Bibles or iPhones or whatever you use, turn over. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. I'm reading out of the NTE. It's a new one for me, but I like I like the way it reads. It gives it a fresh perspective. So starting in verse 1, we must run the race that lies in front of us. We must run it patiently. We must look ahead to Jesus. He's the one who carved out the path for faith. And he's the one who brought it to completion. He knew that there was joy spread out and waiting for him. That's why he endured the cross, making light of its shame, and now taking his seat on the right hand of God's throne. Well, Melissa has a totally different, unique perspective of what we've gone through. So I'm going to let her take over for a moment, and she's going to go into a little bit more detail.
All right. Hey. So I was on the other side of the bubble, and so during this time, it came with a lot of unexpected tasks. My husband couldn't lift 20 pounds or more, which meant I lifted all of our kids, and they always want to be held. They love to be snuggled. They love to be picked up. You've got to put them in the car. You've got to take them anywhere. You've got to change your diaper, lift them on the table. All that jazz. So it's about 5 full weeks. So I never really realized how much I depended on him to do the little things until I was by myself doing them. Even though he was right there, he couldn't. And I knew he tried a little bit in the first surgery, doubled his eye pressure. That's why he had to have a second one. And so we cut off. He tried a little bit to help, but we're not going to let him do that anymore when that was happening. So I love doing these things for my kids, but it was overwhelming. And I knew from the doctor's own mouth that I heard he couldn't lift them, yet I still found myself resenting sometimes having to do it alone. What I did with those feelings is what made the difference in my attitude. So there were days when I couldn't see the forest for the trees, like Joel said, in the midst of all I had to do, and I got resentful. I got a little angry that he couldn't help. even though I knew he couldn't. My selfishness just peeking out and ruining its ugly head. So I had to, taking it back, just looking at Jesus' sacrifice and what he did on the cross really humbled me to be like, hello, you can pick up your kids for 5 weeks. I did this for you. So it was, I didn't have a problem doing those things once I realized the big picture. Once I took that plank out of my eye so I could help him with the sawdust speck in his. So it was, it's easy to blame the bubble, get resentful, but to take responsibility for my own bubble of selfishness and sin was harder and very humbling for me. So I had to look past that. My trials were temporary. They don't seem temporary, but they really were. And they're over now. He can pick up the kids. They're excited about it. He's actually home right now taking care of the kids while I'm working. And so until the doctor lets him go back. But just taking that good solid look at the cross and what Jesus did to unite us with God, put everything in perspective, like I said. It was such a minor issue, but I magnified it. Like, his vision was magnified and even justified my feelings because I was had so much on my shoulders. But God was bigger than that, and he was able to change my mind and my heart. So.
You know, Sundays offer us a great way to refocus our faith with worship, sermons, prayer, fellowship, and communion. I love every aspect of church, but especially communion, because it helps ground me from week to week. And it helps focus my mind on Christ, because that's what we're all about. Someone once told me they didn't feel like they'd been to church unless they participated in communion. I totally understand that. Sometimes it can become just another ritual to us. A checkbox for Sunday. But it's so much more than that. And it can help set our agenda for the week. Being able to hear from different people how they remember Jesus' sacrifice helps me to see the cross in a way I might not have seen it before. It's a wonderful gift. So to finish, let's turn over Colossians 3. Verses 1 and 2. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. As we take this time to take the bread and juice located at the tables around us, take this time to remember the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and use it to help you refocus your mind on the cross. If you're unable to get up and get to a table, please raise your hand after the prayer, and an usher will bring communion to you. Let's pray.